Well, good morning and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is good to be with you today. Happy Friday to you. If you are in the Lancaster County area as we are, man, we had such a beautiful day yesterday and today it is cold and rainy. And I don't know if anybody else can relate, but I had a hard time getting started this morning, getting up and getting going. And yeah, Tanisha, we got music. Now, that's not our official countdown music. They're still working on producing that. I just could not sit here and watch that countdown go live in silence any longer. So I put some other non-copyrighted music in it, but they're still working on our official countdown copyright music. But so anyway, even if you're having a hard time getting started this morning, like I did just because of the cold and the rain, we are believing that today you're going to have an amazing day. As we always say, any day with Jesus, right, is a good day. So we have been on a journey, have we not, of rooting out every bit of approval addiction that has crept in. And as I said yesterday, I don't pretend to think that these live streams are the end all be all of rooting out approval addiction. What I have found is approval addiction, because it becomes such a people pleasing, it becomes such a pattern in life that it can be the hardest, one of the hardest things to break and overcome. So my prayer is that these series, this series, these messages, these live feeds help us start the journey to breaking the need for approval. And sometimes it just comes down to when the rubber meets the road. Like, we're giving you tools this week to help you navigate breaking this, keep pouring in who God says you are, keep, that thinking on those things. But really sometimes it comes down to when the rubber meets the road and that first time those thoughts of rejection come into your mind, or somebody does something tangibly to you that, in the past would spring up those feelings or emotions. That's when we have to step in and say, all right, now hold on a minute. I remember we talked about this and I got to get victory over this. And prayerfully, like I said, that these group of messages, teachings will be tools in your arsenal to help you walk free. So if you are watching today on a platform that you can like or share or comment, please do so. Let me know where you're watching from, and we continue to build our online community and continue to be blessed by what God's doing here on Good Mornings. I said to you yesterday, I was really excited about today's piece of it, the series, because this was something that I had in my notes from Sunday. And after the service was over and just kind of evaluating the sermon, and I thought, I missed that whole section. And that was one of the core things that I wanted to get to, and I didn't. So I thought, well, I'm going to save this till Friday, because it kind of flips the script on what we've been talking about and helping us see it in a little bit of a different light. So as we've been on this journey to break approval addiction, we have looked at what it is. We have counted the cost of what it will cost us in our lives to live in light of other people's opinions, or to be a people pleaser, to put other people before God. And it always will cost us our future and our destiny. It will always have a bigger impact on our lives than we maybe anticipated. And then we begin to look at the cure for it, and meditating on the things of God and being confident that, the work of the cross approved you. It put your price tag on you. Your value is the very Son of God. And so we live different. We live in that light that I have value because God said I'm valuable. And we do not allow anyone else to change God's value system, right? Like we looked at that $100 bill and just said, regardless of what happens to it or what somebody else calls it, its value doesn't change because its value was not set by anyone else. It was set by the federal government, right? And it's what it's worth. So we looked at. So today I want to flip the script a little bit on this. Because breaking the need for approval, when we are addicted to that, on the other side of that is always someone who is putting those demands on us, right? So if we're living in light of the approval of other people, there's always somebody on the other side of that window who is giving their opinion and trying to put their thoughts and their plans and what they would do on somebody else. So today I want to look at the other side of the window and breaking the need to constantly approve or disapprove of others, right? So we've been looking at how do we break the addiction of wanting approval, but today I want to talk about how do we break the addiction of giving our approval, because that can be just as damaging as the desire and overwhelming need to receive it, right? So we got to be careful because, again, one of the greatest songs that I think I've heard in years is the song Nineveh by Brooke Lingerwood, I think is how you pronounce her last name. But the song's called Nineveh. And in that song, she has this line where she says, Lord, reveal if there's any Nineveh in me. And I love that because, again, we hear the story of Jonah and, you know, Nineveh was a sinful city. And, man, they had all this corruption and sin and all this stuff going on. The real moral of the lesson of the story is that despite all of their sin and brokenness, right, Jonah was the one who really blew it here, right? Like God had mercy on Nineveh. And even after he had mercy on Nineveh, Jonah got mad and told God to just kill him because he had mercy on a group of people, right? So, you know, looking at the story of Jonah, and I love the way that author wrote that song of, Lord, let me not focus on Nineveh, but let me focus if there's any Nineveh in me, any of that in me. So as we've been talking about breaking that need for approval, well, let's look at what if we are ones who are putting our thoughts, our approval, or our disapproval on other people and causing them to live under the shadow, under our opinions, under our thoughts, under our judgment of what it is that God is trying to do and wants to do in their life. Good morning, Cheryl. Good morning, Tracy. Good morning, Sue. I know I'm a little behind on those comments today, but good to see y'all. Thank you for being with us on this cold, rainy Friday morning. So we are flipping the script this morning, and we are going to figure out now just not how to break our addiction for approval, but break our addiction to give our approval, right? So so the core of these messages that we've been talking about focus on those of us who crave addiction. But what about those of us who feel the constant need to give our approval or withhold our approval? And let me real quick, because this is all going to be combined into one message today. Let me give you a few thoughts of what this could look like. Someone who makes a bold decision and you immediately assess that bold decision with words like, I wouldn't have done that. Like maybe a family member steps out in faith and inwardly you think, well, we'll see if that works. Or you hear a testimony and wonder if if it's mature enough or deep enough or right enough before you celebrate it, right? Like I was just talking to another pastor friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about kind of our college experiences. And I remember really, really feeling the call of God to go to a certain college when I was 18. And man, I just, you know, and again, I can't blame other people. I could have gone if I wanted to press through, but I remember having some family members in my life who just said, you know, oh, you shouldn't go. And what are you going to do? How are you going to afford it? And blah, blah, you know, and you don't need to go there to do it. You can do all of that here. And, you know, just as a younger person, I listened to those words. And now I look back on my life and I think, man, I know that I knew that I knew that that's what God wanted for my life. But I allowed the opinions and judgments of other people to sidetrack me, if you will, to get me off course. And now God's big enough. He gets us where he needs us to be in the end. And I, you know, I think that person loved me genuinely, and I don't think that they wanted ill for me, but they allowed their brokenness or their codependency, if you will, whatever you, however you want to fill in the blank, to spill over onto their opinion of what I was to do in my life. And often we can do that. And it's a very subtle control reflex, right? An internal sense that your approval is needed to validate someone else's calling, assignment, or growth. Come on. Your approval does not need to be given to validate someone else's calling, assignment, or growth. Here's the truth. You are not their master. You are not their Lord. One of the most powerful things that we can ever learn is that we are not the Holy Spirit. Like, as best as we can be, like, right? We will never be Jesus, like, right? Like, I've already blown it too much to ever even try. Like, we will never be Jesus. And Jesus himself said, it is better that I, speaking of Jesus, the miracle worker, the blind eye opener, the dead man raiser, right? He said, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Jesus said, it's better that you have the Holy Spirit than you have me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at all times. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our convicts us. He leads us in all truth. So if Jesus himself said, listen, it's better that I go so that you can have the Holy Spirit, how much more, and this is Jesus talking, do we have to fall into that category of saying, I'm not the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus, I know it's the Trinity, three in one, but even Jesus, like, you, what you need right now is you need the personal Holy Spirit. And sometimes when it comes to people in our life, family, friends, coworkers, whatever, we have to remind ourselves that we are not their Holy Spirit. And when they are, if they are making decisions that we do not personally agree with, or we think is, you know, crazy, or they shouldn't do, A, number one, we pray. We pray that the Holy Spirit is at work in their life. We pray that the Holy Spirit's conviction is on them. We pray that blinders fall off their eyes and they see the truth of their situation. But we have to remind ourselves, we're not their Holy Spirit and we are not their judge. We are not their Lord and we are not their master. So often we are giving our opinions and feeling like that we need to approve or validate somebody else's journey, somebody else's faith, somebody else's decision, when that is not ever what God has asked us to do. So what does this impulse come from? This drive to give our approval to other people, right? It usually comes from an embedded essence of our own insecurity. We often feel better about our choices when we question other people's choices. Like, and I mean, this is like we've talked about this week. Is often people who are, you know, we're living under their validation and we're craving their validation, and usually they're domineering, they're giving their opinion. We've learned that that's a them issue and not a me issue. Why? Because usually that flows out of insecurity within that person, that again, they feel better about their choices when they can be the judge and the jury of your choices. Like, right, like I can sit and, you know, give somebody an opinion all day long on something that I'm struggling with myself, right? And it's like, I can tell you the way out, I can tell you what to do, but it's not really, the rubber's not really meeting the road in my journey, right? So we often feel better about our choices when we question other people's choices. So that need to give our approval to other people is often born out of insecurity. Number two, it can be born out of pride. We assume that our view of obedience is superior than somebody else's, that we know more than someone else, that our experiences are more valuable than someone else's. And listen, sometimes, what's that old saying, until you walked a mile in my shoes, sometimes you don't know somebody else's in and outs. You don't know somebody else's day in, day out. You don't know what's going on the inside of their heart and what led them to the place that they are in to make the decisions that they're in. But pride comes in and says, well, you have to listen to me. My opinion is more valuable than yours. It's superior. And that's rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride. Number three, comparison. We want to be the standard others are measured against. We want to be the standard that others are measured against. So again, this whole craving for comparison, and we talked about this, that, comparison is the quickest thing to kill a move of God or kill anything that God is doing, is to compare it with what somebody else is doing. Right? But we got to learn to stay in our lane, celebrate what God's doing in our lives, and keep our nose, so to speak, to our plow and what God has put in front of us. I think we all can fall into the trap of comparison. I know I can as well. But, sometimes it's like, man, if you really begin to invest into your life, the amount of time and energy and thought and talking that you do about what's going on in somebody else's life, I think we'd all be a lot further ahead, right? Like if I just kept trying to work on me and grow me and develop me and be a better me and get more education and learn, instead of spending that time and that energy giving my opinion on what somebody else is doing, we probably would be a lot further ahead, right? And then number four, this drive comes out of religious performance. We've learned that faithfulness equals conformity, not spirit-led freedom. Come on, this is good. We've learned that faithfulness equals conformity and not spirit-led freedom. Religion wants everyone to conform to a pattern, to you look like me, talk like me, act like me, look like me, live like me, do like me. But the Spirit of God brings freedom, right? And all that we are and all life change and all of that happens as a result of the Spirit of God working and moving in our lives, that we aren't cookie cutters as Christians. Even the Bible, there's a verse of scripture that says he's building his church, he's building his house with living stones. Living stones means we're all moving, we're all different, we're all cut out differently. There's not a set pattern in this thing, right? That's why the Bible also says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Like he didn't say, well, work out their salvation for them. No, keep your nose to your own plow. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure you are right with God and stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. I promise you, you will have a freer life. You will have a happier life. You will have more energy. You will have more time. You will have more clarity in your life. If you just keep my nose to what God's put in front of me, and I'm going to let you do you, and I'm going to let you do you, and I'm going to do what it is that God's called me to do. I'm not worried about giving my opinion. I'm not worried about you honoring my opinion. I'm not worried about, feeling like I'm being, undervalued or devalued because, you didn't listen to what I had. No, I'm just keeping my nose to my plow and I'm moving forward doing what God has called me to do. Romans 14. Let me say this. Real spiritual maturity releases control and trust the master to whom all of us belong. I love that. Because a sign of real spiritual maturity isn't, they're giving their opinion and they're real strong and they're bold and they're just, no. Real spiritual maturity releases control and trust the master to whom we all belong. I release control and I say, God, you are God and I am not. I'm not their Lord. I'm not their master. I'm not their Holy Spirit. So I release that control over my kids. Now, again, there's a little bit of a difference there. If your kids are under the age of 18 and living at home, or over the age of 18, sometimes if they're living in your house, there's a different set of rules. But you have to come to a place in life where it's like maturity in faith means I have the ability to release control and trust God. And Tanisha hit the nail right on the head, as she always does. She says, sometimes we give an opinion because we want others to validate it 100%. Sometimes our need to be validated, to be valued, to be accepted, we find that when we give and share our opinion and we get people's feedback of, oh, that's so good and that's wisdom. And look at them, they're conforming their life based off of what I said. And where there's something on the inside of us that causes us to feel more valued. But again, all we are doing is we are just keeping this hamster wheel cycle going of, I'm going to put my opinion on you so that I feel validated. But in me putting my opinion on you, it's going to cause you to feel undervalued. And your opinion doesn't matter, which is going to cause you to crave more validation so that you can feel better. And it's this never-ending cycle of dysfunction in our lives and bringing it in other people's lives. So not only do we have to stop, and like we've been talking about, breaking our need and our drive for the approval of other people, we have to stop and break the addictional pattern of giving our opinions and forcing our approval or withholding our approval from other people like we are God. Because trust me, we are not. Romans 14:4 says, you who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. It is before his master that he stands or falls. Come on, this right here will bring so much freedom into our lives. So much freedom. Why? Because I'm wasting time, energy, resource, mental capacity. Again, taking on the role of God and feeling like I have to fix everybody else's life. He will stand or fall before his own master, and that is not me. Jesus didn't seek other people's approval, and he didn't require theirs, right? Jesus didn't ask the Pharisees for permission to heal on the Sabbath. He didn't wait for the religious leaders to co-sign on his miracles. He never required his disciples' approval for the will of his Father to be done. He simply obeyed and did whatever it was that God put before him. And in the same way, we must let others walk in their grace lanes. Listen. We must let other people walk in their grace lanes. As much as we have been celebrating this week, breaking the power of that addictive cycle of me craving other people's approval or addiction, we have to break that cycle of feeling that need to give it and allow other people the same liberty that we are rising up in the spirit and demanding. We are demanding liberty and freedom from the approval of other people, but we must also rise up and demand that for other people as well, right? Like we can't say, well, you don't need to tell me, I'm doing what God's called me to do. But as soon as somebody else steps out and says, listen, I'm making some choices that aren't, you know, maybe in line with what you think. And suddenly we think, well, what I'm asking for doesn't apply for them. We must let others walk in their own grace lanes, even if we don't understand it, even if we would have done it differently. We must allow them to find their growth, whether that's uncomfortable or whether that's unconventional. You don't have to understand somebody else's obedience for it to be real. And listen, I have seen God do crazy things in people's lives that I thought, well, I wouldn't have done it that way, but I'm not God. You know what? Maybe God wanted them to be in that relationship that you didn't approve of because there was something in it that they needed to learn about themselves. Yeah, I'm fill in the blank, right? Like maybe they that business failed, but you know what? God has a master plan and it brought a connection into the life, whatever. But when we stand and scream out our opinions, our approval, do it this way, that's not what I would have done. What are you doing? We are putting on others what we are demanding freedom from ourselves. So it's not just freedom for you, it's freedom for them as well. So when you break the habit of needing to approve of others, you gain, here's some things you get out of it. You gain emotional peace. Man, I need that. Emotional peace. You stop, how do I word it? Policing, if you will, I guess, people's journeys. You stop, standing on the sideline, watching what they're doing and giving your opinion and, you stop policing other people's journeys. You learn how to celebrate without controlling. You learn how to, come on, this is so, so good. You learn how to celebrate without controlling. Listen, we talked a little bit about that. I call it a theology, but that movement, it's kind of going through the world, but I think it is biblical in some aspects of that let them, theology that's kind of going around right now. If somebody else is going to walk away, let them, If somebody is making life decisions and you're like, man, I wouldn't. You are under no obligation to share that with them. Let me just be real, real, real clear on this. So make sure everybody hears this. Two things. Where you have no authority, your opinion does not matter. Where you have no authority, your opinion does not matter. I can't tell you how many people, even just come into a church service and afterwards, well, pastor, here's what I would do. And I didn't really care for this. And I didn't think, but they're not serving nowhere. They're not given to the church. They're not involved in the life of the church. So they have no authority in the church. But for some reason, they walk through our doors and just think, well, here's what I would do. Well, listen, if you're not given, if you're not serving, if you're not involved in the life of the ministry, if you're not at prayer, if you're not, come on, your opinion doesn't matter, right? But people who are invested in the game, their opinions matter, right? So number one, where you have no authority, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, your opinion doesn't matter. And your opinion should never be given if it is not asked. When Melody Hilton was with us, we were talking about that, in the realms, I think the last time she was with us at church was right before the election. And we were talking about, just politics and how all that plays out in the church. And she said this, and it was so good. She said, I will shut my mouth and not say anything unless the person directly asks me, Melody, what are your thoughts on this? What is your opinion about this? What's your opinion? What are your thoughts on this? So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, what are your thoughts on here's my plan? All right. Permission has been granted to share your opinion because it was asked for. But listen, you need to filter every conversation you have through this lens. It will bring you so much freedom, such less heartache in your life. If you hold your tongue and do not share your opinion unless it is asked for. So if somebody comes to you and says, oh man, I'm starting a business and here's what I'm doing and blah, blah, blah. And you have experience in that realm. You have a background in that realm. You know that business model up and down, in and out. But if they do not at one point at all say, but what do you think about this? Or what do you think I should do? Then you shut your mouth and you do not say a word. You celebrate for them. Great. That's wonderful. I pray the blessing of God over you. You know, I'm here if you need anything. But if they do not say, do you have any insight? What can you share on this? Then you hold your tongue. And I know this is the hardest thing sometimes to do. But this is why, we talk about the Holy Spirit, I always tell people the Holy Spirit's role in your life is more to give you, more than just to give you goosebumps on a Sunday morning, right? The Holy Spirit's role in our life is supposed to help us shut up when we need to shut up, not give our opinion when it's not asked for. And if somebody comes to you and says, hey, listen, I'm starting this business. I know you have some background in it. I know you have some experience. Here's my business model. What do you think? All right. You ask, I'm going to give you my opinion. But listen, even here, if you give your opinion and they work out, they go the total opposite direction, it is not your job to call that person and be like, well, I'm offended. How I told you, I gave you the model. I told you what to do. Why are you doing it the other way? Listen, you shared your opinion. They will rise. Remember the scripture we just read. They will rise or fall before their own master. You shared your opinion and they rejected it, obviously. But then listen, if you had wisdom and they rejected it, here again, we can't navigate other people's brokenness. If somebody is not wanting to receive sound advice, sound doctrine, then I'm not going to be able to, like, my pastor taught me years ago. He said, James, listen, let me help you a little bit. And I said, what, pastor? And he said, whenever someone comes into your office and they start the conversation by saying, God told me, fill in the blank, leave the church, divorce my husband, you know, whatever it is, let them. Because when they start off by saying, God told me, well, then what are you coming to me for as your pastor? Because if God already told you, you left no room for me to what? Go against what you believe God told you? You understand what I'm saying? So the issue is in the heart of that person who's saying, listen, I know what I know, and I'm not leaving any room for wisdom or advice or counsel in my life. That's a them issue. So they're going to rise or they're going to fall before their master. And of course, when it's people you love, it's hard. You don't want to see your children. You don't want to see your family go through pain. You don't want to see any of that happen. But the fact of the matter is, I cannot change the heart of a person. Only God can. So when people come in and they say, well, listen, here's what God told me. All right. I mean, are you asking my opinion? Because it doesn't sound like you're asking my opinion. You're telling me what God already told you. So if that's what he told you, then do what he told you. You understand like the difference there? So sometimes people come with they know they're going to do what they're going to do, what they're going to do, regardless of what you say. So why waste the energy, the time, the mental stress, the emotional stress, you know, losing your peace when it's a heart issue inside of somebody else because they're unwilling to yield to authority or they're unwilling to listen to sound doctrine. They're unwilling to, you know, who builds a tower, the Bible says, without first sitting down and counting the cost. They're not willing to sit and listen to those who have gone before them. They're not wanting to do that. So what are they? But that's, again, that's a heart condition on their end. So don't lose track of your assignment trying to fix their assignment. You with me? So you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do his job. You have to learn how to celebrate without controlling. All right, well, I gave my opinion. They didn't go with it, but I'm going to celebrate you every step of the journey. Why? Because that's spiritual maturity. When a child is told no or doesn't get their way, what do? They throw a temper tantrum. They're angry. They won't look at you. They throw themselves on the floor. Maturity says, hey, I didn't get my way here. And in essence, when you're giving your opinion or advice to somebody else because they asked and they go a different way, there's that feeling of rejection. We're like, why didn't you take the advice that I gave you? You know, but spiritual maturity says, well, they will rise and fall in front of their own master. But what am I going to do? I'm going to celebrate every step of the way. I'm going to encourage them because if I really want the best for them, I'm going to pray that God works it out. I'm going to pray that it turns around. I'm going to pray that, you know, if that's the wrong person there to be in relationship with, that God, you know, does what he can, only he can do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be there for them if they fall. I'm going to help them up. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to be a support. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do everything it is that I can do to help and support that person, right? But I'm not going to, you know, because they didn't take my approval or take my opinion or take my advice, when I go and I cut them off and I stop talking to them or I give them a cold shoulder, you know what that's teaching them? That's teaching them to crave other people's approval. It's teaching them that, oh no, if I don't do what they want me to do, then they will not approve of me. And that is not showing the character and love of God. So what are we asking them to do? We are asking them to do or to change their own opinion of what they believe that God's leading them to do, so that they aren't hurt by us, right? But look at the character and nature of God. How many times does God give one clear direction and we go a different way? And is there often hurt and pain involved in that? 100%. But the moment before the Bible says, before we can even speak his name, he's there, right? Like he's there. That's right, Tanisha. God said, and don't be the I told you so person either. Yep, 100%. They don't need that. Nobody needs to be like, hey, well, you need just a reminder, I told you so. Again, I just was in a situation the other week where it's like I so bad wanted to say, well, I told you, when I'll be 100% honest, I ended up did saying it later on to that person. But again, I want the Holy Spirit in my life, the real Holy Spirit, he's like, don't you dare say I told you so. You put your arms around them. You pray for them. You encourage them. You do whatever you can do to support them. But don't you dare say I told you so. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So you are not the Holy Spirit. You have to stay in your domain. God gave you a domain over your life, your decisions, your territory. Genesis 1:28 talks about this, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion, right? We all have a dominion, if you will. Like, I thought this was really powerful. Pastor Donna was up with us, I think, last year or two. But she had talked about this, of everyone kind of having their own dominion. And sometimes even when we're praying for the sick to be recovered, there is only so much that a person can do, because God gave us dominion over our realm, right? Over my body, my choices, my life. And I don't necessarily have dominion over somebody else's realm. So I can't force them to receive something that they don't have the faith to receive, or that they don't want to receive, or that they don't believe, right? And I heard this, like somebody said, well, what about the guys who lowered the man in front of Jesus? Yeah, they lowered him in front of Jesus. They got him to Jesus, but to receive the healing from Jesus, that man had to be able to receive that, right? So like, my role is, if, man, if I can push people to Jesus, if I can encourage them to get in prayer, if I can encourage them, hey, why don't you pray about that? If I can encourage them to get in front of Jesus, that's my role. But I don't have dominion over their domain. They do. So there are certain things in life I can pray, I can, you know, encourage you, but there are certain things, until the person who has dominion, and I could preach about this for 5 weeks, about the person who has dominion over their domain, until they step up and say, here and no more. Like, man, you can go do a demon deliverance from somebody and cleanse their house and do all of that. But come on, when midnight rolls around and they want to mess around and the same stuff that they have been involved in, there's nothing that you can do until they get to a place in their life where they decide, you know what, I'm done. And I'm rising up and I am taking my territory back, using my God-given authority over my territory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not me and my house and their house and their, no, my house, my domain, my realm. right? So when we understand that and we have that revelation, we understand that, man, there are some things that you cannot do for other people. Only God can do it. Right? Even the Bible says that no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. Like, we can't even get people saved on our own. Like, you know, it's like, it's still all through the work of the Holy Spirit, which means when somebody comes to salvation, we're like, oh, well, we invited them to church and look, you know, we got them saved. Well, yeah, and I know we invited them, and I'm not downplaying our role in that. But what I'm saying is they didn't come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit probably was already working on their heart. They were already involved in situations in their life. They were questioning things about God. They came into a service, and the Holy Spirit started moving on their heart and softened their heart and brought revelation that God is the true way of the life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, we had a small part, but it's still all through the work of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you do not have dominion or domain over somebody else's heart, over somebody else's life. Only they can make a decision to yield to the Holy Spirit or not. Only they can make a decision to accept or deny. And it does us no gain to stand there and scrap as much as we want to, because again, I know that most of this is out of love, you know. Come on, you got to get saved. You got to get saved. You got to get saved. You got to do it. You got to do it. What if you die? Unless the Holy Spirit draws them. There's nothing that I can't force that decision. So where in your life are you growing weary? Are you tired? Because you've been carrying, you know, the Bible says his yoke is light. His yoke is easy. But it doesn't mean that our journeys are easy. Do you know why? Because we pick up other people's yokes. Like, if we just have the yoke that God and the mantle that God put on us, and we're following, that's right, sure, our yoke is in prayer, 100%. You know, if we're just following the journey that he gave us, if we just take on the yoke that he gave us, we're going to be all right. We're not going to be stressed out. We're not going to be, you know, tossing and turning through the night. Like, we're going to pray. We're going to trust the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not there yet, but I think I keep telling the Lord, I said, God, please. You know, I look at some parents whose children grow up and move to the other side of the world or even different state. And, you know, me and my siblings all live within like 5 minutes of each other. And I'm like, God, I don't know how those parents do it. I don't know. How do you release children into like the world and just let them move wherever they want to move? Y'all gonna have to pray for me when I get there. You know, as I say, God, please let all my kids be like us and let us just all live within like the same compound within like 3 feet of each other, right? You know, so I can't imagine what it is for a parent to watch their babies, their kids take a life of their own that often is away, or I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the weight of a parent watching their children make decisions, life-altering decisions that you know is going to cause them pain. But it doesn't change the fact that we are not their Holy Spirit. And we thank God that they have a Holy Spirit. We thank God that through prayer, I pray that, Lord, if they are out doing what they ought not to be doing, Father, Holy Spirit, convict them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Let that thing be, you know, come all over them. Let them not be able, you know, you mamas know how to do that. You pray that Holy Spirit convicting power. But when they call you in the morning, don't you dare try to be their Holy Spirit. You pray them through. You are not responsible for how somebody else stewards their assignment. You're responsible for how you steward yours. When you stand before the Father, he will not say, what did your kids do with their assignment? What did your spouse do with their assignment? What did your pastor do with their, what did you do with your assignment? That's what you are accountable for. Come on. Real quick, I know we got to end this. We're going a little long today, but Spiritual overreach is pride. When we step into the role of the Holy Spirit in someone else's life, here are some things that we risk. We risk speaking where God hasn't. I've told this story many times, but I remember my dad, my mom finally got him to come to church, and he came to church and went outside and lit up a cigarette. And I remember a lady from the church came out, saw my dad smoking and freaked out and told everybody. And I remember my dad said, never again. And he didn't until like a week or two before he died, he came to hear me sing in church. But outside of that, he never stepped foot back into a church again. And here's what I've often found. Just because God has dealt with us about something doesn't mean he's dealt with them about something. And you might say, well, look at them. They're doing this and they're smoking that, or they're over here. God is fully aware of what other people are doing. He knows. But I'm not the master planner like God is. So God might say, you know what? I know they're smoking dope. I know they're drinking. I know they're gossiping. I know blah, blah, blah. But God is saying, listen, I'm trying to deal with this thing in their life over here, because this is in God's divine wisdom. This is what's more serious, and this is what I need to deal with. Or God might be saying, I need to bring inner healing into their life because all these other things are a result of the brokenness on the inside of them. So I'm not trying to fix the outward expression of what is not the root cause of why they're doing those things. So God's saying, I need to bring healing to the root cause that will automatically fix the expression of all the sin that's in their life. And here we are on the outside screaming at them, fix this and do this and don't do that and don't do that. And we're just continuing this cycle of this need for approval. And God's saying, listen, I know what they're doing, but I'm trying to fix their brokenness. I'm trying to do something else over here. So just because God has put his finger on something else in your life does not mean that he put it on, that he spoke that to them. So now, and instead of just letting the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit, we're getting people, starting to move people into works. Well, I'm going to change this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, like Cheryl shared her testimony of quitting smoking, right? Like she shared that on a live here a few weeks back. You know, and when the Holy Spirit put his finger on that in her life, just done. It didn't take a patch. It didn't take anybody screaming at her. It didn't take, you know, a course. It just, the Holy Spirit did it and it was over. Right? So we always have to rest. And no, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't know. And I think this sometimes. It's like sometimes the more you grow in God, it's like if I have a bad thought towards somebody, it's like the Holy Spirit gets all over me and is convicting me. And he's like, Jim, how could you think that? What are you doing? You need to repent. And it's like, sometimes you turn around and you're like, God, how are they getting away with all this other stuff? And he's like, shut up. It's not your business. All right, God, you just deal with your attitude problem. You deal with your thought problem. You deal with your judgmental problem. And you let them do what, I'm God. You understand what I'm saying? So when we overreach outside of our domain, it comes out of pride because we risk speaking where God has not spoken, controlling what only God can control. Only he can control the heart. Only he can fix the heart. And we distract people from hearing God directly. Again, when we're not encouraging people, well, what does God say about that? When people come and they're like, well, what should I do? And what should I, are we asking them, well, have you consulted the Lord? Hey, do you think I should be in a relationship with this person? Well, I don't know. What does the Bible say about who we should date? Let's do a study together. Let's look at it in the Word. Do you know what you're teaching people? You're teaching them to not be codependent to get approval from everyone else. And you're teaching them to get into the book and find out what God says about their situation and allow the Word and the Holy Spirit, come on, teamed up to do the work that only he can do. And now what they're learning is they are learning to, excuse me, let me just take care of this. So you got some random messages coming through on YouTube. So the program that we use allows us to block comments and users. So if you're not on YouTube, you don't know anything about it, don't worry about it. But anyway, but do you see that pattern? Instead of trying to control, like you can give a man a fish to eat, that old saying, and he'll eat for a day, or you can teach them to fish. I feel better and I feel good when my kids are coming to me and asking me what to do. But the fact of the matter is you won't be here forever. And if they don't know how to get into this word and stand before their master on their own and get wisdom from God on their own and get direction from God on their own, what will happen when you leave this earth and all kind of, you know, the darkness is covering the earth? Are they going to know how to get in the face of God and find out what God says? Why? Because in the past, they were so self-reliant on your opinion and your approval. Let's flip the script there and let's change the pattern and let's start teaching people, well, what does God say? And the great thing about that is they're not, if they don't do the advice, they're not rejecting you. And if they don't like the advice, that has nothing to do with you. Listen, that's between you and God. You read it. You do with what you do with it, what you will. We're just reading what the Bible said about it, right? So the greatest thing we can do, and I encourage you to do this anytime somebody comes and asks you for wisdom and advice. And of course, you know, again, if they're asking for it, that's your permission slip to give it. That's your permission slip to give it. But even in giving your advice, I would always challenge somebody, but get in the word a little bit. What does the Bible say about starting a business? What are some strategic steps to put God first in starting your business? Do you understand? You're teaching them to stand and get approval from God and God alone and not from any man. You're teaching them to go to God and to go to his word because he's the source. I'll teach you what I know. I'll give you what I know, but it's not greater than this. And that will cause a life to flourish before God. I have, let me see, 4 more pages of notes on this today, but obviously we're not getting to, but I hope you see why I was excited to get to this today. Because as much as we crave it, typically people who crave approval from other people are the very people who are over-opinionated because it's all coming out of that brokenness. I'm broken on the inside and I feel insignificant and I feel less than. Therefore, I crave your approval. But the other thing that makes me feel more significant is when I can give my approval and you crave what I have to say. So I am just creating this cycle and parents do it to children. So children do it to parents and then children do it to their children. And we just create these generational lines of seeking your approval. And then I take it away because I need you to have my take my opinion or I don't feel approved. And we just start generational cycles that get us nowhere. We honor one another. We love one another. But we teach people to rise or fall before their master. So today, we've prayed this week, and we continue to pray that we would break these cycles and patterns of seeking people's approval. But today, I want us to repent. I want us to ask God to forgive us, forgive me, ask for you. Again, I can't repent for you. It's your domain. But I would encourage you to go before the Father and say, Lord, if I see any of me in this, where I have been quick, what does the Bible say? Quick to listen, slow to speak. Doesn't that sound like what we're talking about? Like, I will listen to your dreams all day long. I will listen to your business plan all day long, but I will be slow to speak. And I will listen. Did you ask me for my opinion? And if you didn't, I'll pray for you, I'll celebrate you, and I'll send you on your way. I will not give my opinion where it was not asked for. I won't do it. So I ask us to go before the Father. Let's just do that now. Father, I pray for myself, Lord, and I pray that we would all do this. But Lord, if there have been areas in our lives where we, out of our brokenness, have kept this cycle on repeat of needing approval, so we crave it. And then because we're craving it, we're continuing that pattern of on other people. And then we want to feel validated, so we put our opinions out there so that people validate ourselves. It's all birthed out of brokenness. But Father, I first ask today that you bring healing in those areas of brokenness, that your Holy Spirit would come in and begin to minister to us and heal those wounds and reveal to us why those patterns are at work in our life. And then, Holy Spirit, we repent today for trying to do your job, for trying to be you. No one can be you but you. So today we let go, lay down the yokes of other people and their assignments. And we give you, Holy Spirit, permission to catch us when we fall back into those patterns, to hold our tongue when we want to speak and we need to be quiet. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, and those that we love, because you know it's only out of a heart of love, that sometimes it's hard to let go of those that we love and we see them making decisions that aren't pleasing to you. Help us in that journey, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we release you into their life. And we ask you to do what only you can do. Guide, direct, convict. Do your job, Holy Spirit. And we submit them and we submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. I know today was a little bit heavier, but hopefully you can see through this teaching. That's right. Cheryl said there's so much to chew on from this week. There absolutely is, Cheryl. That's what I said. I knew coming into because this, I'm honest with y'all. You know, this is an area that I got to grow in as in myself as well. And I knew coming into this, this is not like, all right, Friday, it's done. We're all free. Let's go. You know, I knew that this is something to help us get started in digging out some of these things. And, you know, we're not going to be perfect at it, you know, especially mamas and papas, you know, we're going to want to step in there on our kids sometimes and do, you know, because they're our babies, but we're going to grow in this. We're going to keep digging this out. We're going to keep leaning in. We're going to keep trusting the Holy Spirit to work this out in our lives. And so again, refer back to these because I probably will, and I'm sure you will, and we're all going to need to come back and say, all right, I'm accepted by God. They are accepted by God. I'm staying in my lane. I'm doing my thing. And I do believe on the other side of this, we're going to experience so much more peace in our lives. And it's going to be a joy again to serve God because I'm not worried about everybody else's opinion. And I'm not worried about giving my opinion. I'm just serving God. I'm doing what he's called me to do. Right. And that's how we're supposed to live. So thanks for being on with me this week. Hopefully you have a great rest of your day and a wonderful day tomorrow. I do want to give a quick plug. If you have had interest in Valor Christian College and signing up to either be an online student and part of the campus cohort here at Hope City Church, or actually attending as an on-campus student, now is the time to sign up. I know you might be thinking, well, the fall semester starts, that's in the fall. Yep, wholeheartedly get that. But now's the time to start the process because through the scholarships that come from being a part of Hope City Church, and then through the scholarships that come through being a part of the cohort, and then, of course, grants that you can receive, you can actually get further your education and degree for pennies on the dollar. But a lot of that stuff takes time. So now is the time. So if you are serious about furthering your Christian education, becoming a part of the campus cohort here at Hope City, or sending a student to the actual campus there in the fall, shoot me a text. Let me know that says, hey, I haven't applied yet, but I'm still in. I can make sure that anyone who's going to be a part of this with us is on board and we're navigating this together. But I do want to encourage you. There are two young people in my life that I'm putting a little bit of pressure, not I know what we just talked about, but just reminding them that this opportunity is there. They have what is called internships this summer. So it is like 5 or 6 weeks this summer where they can go to Valor Christian College at World Harvest Church. They pay for your room. They pay for your food. They take care of everything. And then it's worth multiple college credits if they decide to go. But it gives them a little bit of what campus life is like. It gets them involved in the ministry there for the summer. And what a great way to invest in a young person's life is to send them to a college campus for the summer. Get in. I mean, camp meeting is going to be happening during that time. Let them get the fire of God. Let them pull away from the voices of everybody else around them and hear what God might be saying for them. So that HAP begins, I think it's May 31st. So that's coming up. But you can go to valorcollege.edu, I believe it is, and sign up for that there. But if you have young people in your life who are at that college age, maybe a little bit over, and that you feel like they're failure to launch, what better thing to give them this summer than the fire of God? Let them go for 5 or 6 weeks, everything taken care of expense-wise, get some college credits, free college credits, just to have in their arsenal. But I believe they're coming away with the fire of God. So there's some young people in my life that, again, I'm not forcing, I'm not putting my opinion, but I'm just going to say, hey, I just want you to prayerfully consider this and be a support if they choose to do that. So, all right. Well, thanks for being on with me today. Be blessed. Have a great, great rest of your day. I'll see you this weekend right here at Hope City Church as we celebrate Mother's Day in Jesus' name. Amen.